This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is technical manager referees at the UAE FA based in Dubai, Richard Mellon. Rich, we have another 20 minutes to open up discussion about all things refereeing. I just want to, obviously you've been out in Dubai now for a good few months. I just want to make sure you're up to date with things that have been happening here in the UK. You will be aware of a recent game, a recent FA Cup preliminary round game between Bridgwater and Brixham, where the game had to be replayed after a decision made by the referee who gave a sin bin in a competition which doesn't have sin bins, hence the reason the game having to be replayed. And I thought it was good to just bring this one up for two reasons, because it's important to make sure you know the rules of the competition because it can be easily forgotten about.
Yeah, I agree, Darren. It's, these things do happen, unfortunately, but they are rare. And whilst it's embarrassment for the young referee involved, it is
and
a team
at this point,
thing.
In case that person or the official is listening, we're not having a go. We're not taking the mick or anything like that. I just think it's important that we all learn from these mistakes.
That's the point of this podcast, yeah. Dad. We're learning and educating ourselves.
And it must have been, I don't know the referee involved, it must have been quite awful for all three officials because the situation did get quite a lot of media attention online. It was actually on the local TV news here in the UK as well.
Well, it's impact news and it makes a headline for those people that like to use the media like that.
I mention it because I know a lot about the history of what happened, because I was called up to be an assistant referee on the replay of the particular game, which was a nice appointment to have. And it made it a little extra, not tense, exciting, adrenaline, because of the attention that was surrounding the whole reason for that game being replayed. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Let me pick you up on that, first of all, and I do see where you're coming from. It wasn't a replay, was it?
No, it wasn't a replay. No, it wasn't a replay.
It wasn't a draw the first game.
No, because it was null and void, wasn't it?
Yeah, incorrect application of law. And that covers a multitude of sins in some people's opinion. But competition rules. The FA does not state sin bins in their competitions. So consequently, that's the learning point for our listeners. The learning point is make sure you understand the competition rules. If you don't understand, please ask. Please ask. And I'll use the example that we have locally. If you don't know the competition rules, ask Mark Vickers of the Taunton District. Ask Wally Watkins of the Somerset County League and relevant people around the country, around other countries and everything. If you don't know, you're doubtful about something, no question is a silly question. Cliches there, but you know where I'm trying to come from.
Ask your fellow referees. You know, there will be referees. Some referees have a better knowledge.
I want to cut in there and be quite harsh.
Oh, go on.
If you were to ask a fellow referee, how sure can you be that he knows the correct competition rules?
Or she.
Or she. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. I sat in a referee's exam a few weeks ago, and I've seen the results of 60 referees. The results were not particularly good, but seeing them sitting in little cliques, three or four referees have copied one referee's answer. Who's to say that the answer that they copied was the right answer? Because all four of them then got it wrong.
My hand goes up here because I've done that before. I've put down an answer, and not just in refereeing, but in other areas, a job interview application I've done it on. I was a little unsure, and I looked across, saw somebody else's, and thought, well, they've got the answer right. So I went with that. And then when it came out, I had the answer right in the first place. And I expect we've all done that in quizzes.
It's stuff that we used to do at school, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of these little traits never change, you know. Let me say to you, we as referees, we are always copying somebody else's technique, somebody else's management, somebody else's decision making and how they do it. And that's not wrong, but some things may not work for you, you know? So knowledge is a huge, huge thing.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
Exactly. If you've got knowledge, then you're going to be confident, competent, etc., etc. So just make sure, the message is, make sure that you understand the competition rules. Make sure there's been no changes. We don't wait until July the 1st this year when we knew the new IFAB rules were coming out, did we? We knew when they were coming out because there'd been good publicity. So we'd all been doing our homework. Now, some of us have got a responsible role in football, so we make sure that what we're going to tell our referees when we come into these pre-season meetings is that we've got all the right facts to present to them. And we present it in a PowerPoint slide or a conversation, and we emphasise those changes if there's been changes. And so consequently, what I'd like to say, and touching on this, is if you're a new referee coming into refereeing, and this is perhaps your first full season, and those that haven't had many seasons, make sure you're familiar with the changes of laws. The IFAB app is downloadable. There's a hard book that you can have as a hard copy. So, you know, information is out there. Please don't be shy to ask.
Yeah, like Richard said, contact your local league secretary, maybe contact your local FA, or as again Richard said, look at the rules online. It's dead simple to do, and it can save you a whole lot of hassle and embarrassment even.
Yeah, the IFAB app is very, very modern. Very modern indeed. And it really appeals to me, the older generation of referees. It appeals to me for the way in which it's presented. And I just think it's so much better than what we had before. But, you know, and we had to do it because that is our responsibility as referees and things like that. Anyhow, I'm rambling on. Let's talk about this game then, Darren, in the FA Cup qualifier.
Yeah, yeah.
Brixham and Bridgewater was told that they had to replay.
Rich, come on.
Yeah. The game had to be played again because of an incorrect application of competition rules. Mm-hmm. So how did it come about for you? When did you know? What were you going to do previously?
Okay, so
did you have a game or?
Yeah,
were you going out with the family?
No, so the game was played again as opposed to replayed. It was played again on the Tuesday evening, and I was actually down to do my first County League middle of the new season. So I was really looking forward to that because I'd done quite a few lines pre-season, and I was looking forward to getting stuck back into the County League again. And then the appointment that landed on my desk, landed on my email box even, the Friday before. So I only had sort of three days notice because it was that quick a turnaround. So, obviously I was quite chuffed to get the appointment.
Let me stop there. Yeah, why do you think you got the appointment?
Why?
I
don't know. I don't know.
Okay, let's go through some of the basics. You were available. You had set your close dates previously, hadn't you?
Yeah.
And so consequently, if someone wants to appoint Darren Cullum to a game of football, they look at his closed dates and say, he's available on that date. We can put him on that game because he's a suitable match official for that level of football. This is an FA Cup qualifier we're talking about here. These are special games. Special games. There is never an FA Cup match which doesn't sort of raise the hairs on the back of my neck. It's always special to receive those appointments. And you were fortunate to have this in this season, and you were selected because you were available, you made yourself available. Not that you phoned up anybody and said, I'm available to do that game, because that's not what you do. But your closed dates were in order, and somebody was able to look at your closed dates and say, Darren Cullum's available, he can do one of the lines, and that's how it happens.
And what you just said there about the FA Cup prelim. Any FA Cup game is a special game, even at prelim level. And that's not dismissing preliminary round level, because it was an exciting game and it had that little extra buzz to it because of the nature of the publicity the game had had. And because of that, the game attracted a bigger crowd. And obviously, with a bigger crowd, you get a bit more jip. And, you know, there was a lot of comments about, oh, don't forget the sin bin ref. And there was a lot of that going on, sort of banter.
That's called banter.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolute banter.
When I said about FA Cup, I didn't mean FA Cup specifically. I meant FA Vars, FA Trophy, yeah. FA Youth Cup, FA Ladies competitions. There are so many FA competitions going on in the early stages of their the current season. We need to make sure that if we're available, then our name is in the hat.
Yeah.
And that's what you did. So, you know, hopefully what comes next for you and other colleagues that are listening, if you've had an FA qualifier in the FA in the Cup, maybe you might get an early round in the FA Vars.
And obviously, the higher up the refereeing ladder you are, obviously the bigger the games you're going to get because of that.
Yes, yeah.
But no, it was a one.
You say bigger the games, but those games are important to the players.
They have
an expectation and a demand on you, the match official, whichever game you're refereeing.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the game. How did you feel when you were leaning out? Because I've seen a photograph of you walking out, and I've never seen you look so serious.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I got the appointment on the Friday, and I mentioned it to our friend Brian Lee. And I said to him, oh, yeah, look at this appointment I've just been given. And he phoned me up. He said, mate, do you know the importance of this game? He said, that is a heck of a game you've just been given. So I wasn't entirely sure of the history. So he went through it. And then I started to sort of just look around a bit more. And I started to see a lot more about it. And then I saw some online news articles about it. And then it appeared on the West Country TV news. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute, this is quite big stuff. So going into the game, I was very excited. I was privileged to be on that game, and they added that extra air of excitement to it. And because of that, I don't know, I kind of went into my zone a bit more, and I was a lot more focused. And the referee at the time, who was great, by the way, said to us, you know, in the pre-match.
Adam Wilson,
yeah.
Good lad.
He's a postie. Adam Wilson's a postman from Bristol. There you go, see? And he's great. He was very relaxed with it. And he set us both all at ease. And he said, let's just go out there and do our job. And that's what we did. And it was a great game of football. And towards the last 5 minutes, the last 5-10 minutes is when five yellows in the game, four yellows came out then.
Wow! So
because it really paced up.
Let's come back to that one in a minute. But what I want to pick you up on, as regards a conversation.
Oh, you froze.
Your focus is for this game. How is your focus when you go to what we'll call your every weekend game? What is your focus like? What do you focus on as an individual?
Once I arrive, I do what we talked about previously, and that's go and make myself known, say hello, maybe have a quick cup of tea, just do the social stuff, and then I'll get myself changed, go out onto the field of play to do my warm-up. And once I start doing my warm-up, I start to get into a bit of a concentrated mode then. And then I'll go back in, I'll do my team stuff, write down what's going into my book, get myself ready, make sure I've got everything in the right place, do my little pre-match checks and one thing and another. And then I just lock into focus, I suppose, as we all do as referees.
Yes, we do, yeah. Do you practice what you're going to say to people if you're challenged verbally?
Yes, I practice in the car on the way. I know it sounds ridiculous, but going back to the Andy Garrett routine that we've talked about so many times, and practicing your flag techniques and everything in the mirror, I practice how I would deliver something in the car, because I'm in the environment. And as you know, my career as a radio presenter, I'm pretty good at being quite vocal about things anyway and talking to myself. So but
that
it really helps.
Presentation, Darren, is perfect. That's what I want our listeners to think about. Practice what you're going to say to the player when he makes a certain type of challenge or when he says something that you don't really want to hear. He's not always going to give you compliments, and You know, hopefully we'd get more compliments from players when they realize how tough refereeing can be. But it's practicing those little skills that sometimes we take for granted.
Yeah. So those little things, I think, will help, as we've just discussed, a little bit of practicing in the car or at home or whatever. And then, like I said, I just sort of go into my zone. It's a bit weird to explain, but all referees have their own little zone, don't they? They have their own little way of doing things.
It's a focus, isn't it?
Focus.
You're going into focus because ultimately none of us want to make a mistake. I've never known a referee to go out there and deliberately want to make a mistake. Yeah.
And I think on that particular game that we've referred to in this episode, we were more conscious that we could not make mistakes. We couldn't have a situation again where a wrong decision had been made. Look, as a referee, you know, like you say, we like to get 100% or as get close to 100% as possible. And in the eyes of everybody around you, you're never going to get the perfect game. But, you know, as a whole, on that particular night, all the right decisions were given.
Good. Well done, mate. Well done. So let's talk about those four yellow cards in the last moments of the game.
They were...
What was the mood of the game like? It was 2-1 in the end, the score, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2-1, and there was a goal line clearance in the 93rd minute. It was literally the last kick of the game. And
how did the scoring go, Darren?
How did the what, sorry? So it started,
how did the scoring okay, the game
so,
go?
Bridgewater went 1-0 up in the first half. Second half, Brixham came back, and that's when the pace of the game changed. Bridgewater.
When
then,
did they score their equaliser?
They I think they probably scored it about 20 minutes from the end. So they really thought they were into it.
So everything's back to a level playing field in terms of the scoreline.
Yep.
So the intensity increases.
Yeah, and you can notice it straight away. It's like a flick of a switch. And Bridgewater then got another one back, which was a little bit, it was contested to start with, but the right decision was given, ultimately.
Describe it then, Dav.
It was I didn't have as good a view as it as Adam did, because it was a goal line sort of scramble. It all happened in the goal area. So
it wasn't at your end of the field of play then?
It was my end, but I didn't have a particularly good view of it because there were players blocking my view of where it was on the sort of far side, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, where were you stood?
So I was stood probably in line with the edge of the 6-yard box.
Okay, so it was an attack. It wasn't a goal line scramble.
No. It was an attack from Bridgewater.
Right. Okay. And they went 2-1 up from that.
Yeah.
The mood of the game, the temperature of the game increased. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, went right up. Last sort of 10-15 minutes. Brixham threw everything at it, and they did. They had a really, really good go at it as well. And particularly in the last 5 minutes, there was some sort of chunky challenges going in, which had to be dealt with. Yeah. Which Adam did brilliantly.
Let's emphasize on the chunky challenges. Do you think there were some fouls that could have been given?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. To hold the pace of the game.
What I want to say is, Dad, do you think that the game, we could have killed the game those chunky challenges, stop the chunky challenges? You know, it's like going back to the beginning of the game, you know, when everybody's a little bit feisty and they're all trying to create an impression. So, you know, keep the game match control tight.
Mm. Yeah. Was
there much advantage being played you in the last 15 minutes?
Yeah, there were some great advantages being played. In fact, I learnt quite a lot about the advantages and the length of time you would leave the play before you pulled it back.
Do you think, when you're playing advantage, do you think it's a good idea, with the temperature being so high, if it's not a clear and obvious advantage, why play advantage and put your match control under threat because of the temperature of the game?
Oh, I completely agree with you. I'm not saying that was the period of time that Adam played a great advantage, which
I didn't want to talk about Adam. I wanted to talk about match control referee.
Right, okay. No, you're absolutely yes. I see where you're coming from now. Yes, don't play the advantage. Give the free kick just to slow and take the sting out of the game.
Take some of the temperature out of the game. We are often dragged into the emotions of the game, and we keep the game going for the sake of keeping the game going, and that may not be the right decision for the game. If the temperature is high, the tackle's off, you know, they're reining in, then maybe that's when we should start giving free kicks and slow the players down a bit and stop them making those car crashes, those type of challenges that we don't want to see, you know, and everybody's sat there watching, you know, that type of challenge, you know.
Yeah, and it was a bit like that at the end, but that to me was traditional, old school FA Cup football. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant game to be on. Rich, that will end this episode of the Referees World podcast. Hopefully, you, if you're listening for the first time, you've enjoyed what we've discussed. And as Rich has always said, if there's anything that you're unsure about and you would like some answers for, then please get in touch with us through the website. Go to refereesworld.co.uk.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.